For months, vast parts of Ukraine have been under Russian occupation, and there was little sign that would change. That is, until last week.
Tonight, a major victory for the Ukrainians in what could be a turning point in this war.
Ukrainian forces have liberated from the Russians people in more than 30 settlements in the northeast region of Kharkiv.
Ukraine's counteroffensive has reshaped the battlefield in a matter of days.
Our colleague Matthew Luxmore is based in Ukraine and has been following this offensive.
We've seen videos of jubilant residents coming out of their homes, in some cases coming out of their homes for the first time properly for a very long time. And these people are coming out to greet Ukrainian soldiers. We've heard in those videos local elderly ladies saying, "We've cooked you a hot breakfast," or "Come into our homes. We have freshly made cookies and pies for you."
In a matter of days, Ukrainian forces liberated dozens of towns, mostly in the northeast. And their soldiers met little resistance from Russian forces. In fact, most of them had fled their posts as Ukrainian troops advanced. Matthew describes a video taken by Ukrainian soldiers as they entered a city in the north.
And it really shows a kind of vast graveyard of Russian military hardware. Tanks, infantry fighting vehicles, armored personnel carriers, and many other pieces of equipment that are charred and burnt out and in some cases broken or falling apart.
This success by the Ukrainian military relied at least in part on an element of surprise. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Thursday, September 15th. Coming up on the show, how Ukraine surprised Russian troops and possibly changed the direction of the war.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
The war in Ukraine had been at a standstill for months.
It was in many ways moving towards something akin to a frozen conflict where the front line, which stretches for thousands of kilometers along the eastern part of the country and in the south of Ukraine, had essentially ground to a halt. Russian forces were not advancing.
A senior NATO intelligence official telling us that if we are not already in a stalemate in the war in Ukraine, we are rapidly approaching one.
It only shows that the Kremlin is preparing for a long war, and Ukrainians clearly will keep resisting, refueling, and fighting 24/7 for their homeland.
And there was a widespread view that Ukraine has to prepare itself for a very long attritional struggle where it would continue to lose soldiers and continue to kill Russian soldiers.
And for cities under Russian control, Matthew says Russia was also launching a war on Ukrainian culture.
We have many stories of Ukrainian textbooks, for instance, being removed from schools in occupied towns and cities and replaced with textbooks that essentially reflect the Russian curriculum. Part of the justification for this war made by Russia's President Vladimir Putin is to, as he puts it, denazify Ukraine, which is essentially tantamount to removing Ukrainian culture, destroying in many ways Ukrainian culture and destroying the language and ensuring that the Russian language is predominant in the country once again.
Russian forces have been accused of executing Ukrainians who resisted occupation. And some residents have told Matthew that people they know have been forcibly sent to Russia. Accusations the Kremlin denies.
We have stories, and I've been to some of those towns myself, and I spoke to people who talked of a forcible relocation of residents to Russia. In one town called Vilhivka, a small village not far from the regional capital, Kharkiv, we spoke to residents who did not know the whereabouts of their relatives.
And after months of keeping Russian troops at bay, even repelling them from the capital of Kyiv, Ukraine started making plans to get its land back. And its strategy to do that caught some people by surprise. Because Ukraine didn't hide what it was planning to do. It publicly laid out its strategy, telling media it was planning an offensive in the southern region of Kherson.
It's been planned and talked about for months. And in the past few hours, Ukraine says its long-awaited offensive on the southern front has finally begun.
And I think many people started asking questions why Ukraine is being so public about its plans to launch a counter-offensive in the south of the country. So Russia, of course, had the information that we've all had, the publicly released information from Kyiv about a planned counter-offensive. Russia moved a large amount of troops to the south of the country from the Donbas and from Kharkiv region. By some estimates, really thousands or possibly even tens of thousands of soldiers to back up its defenses in Kherson region, preparing for this counterattack that Ukraine had promised.
But this well-telegraphed offensive in the south wasn't the whole story. In an interview with David Muir of ABC News, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky danced around questions about his military strategy.
I won't say that it's only a counteroffensive in Kherson. There is a direction, or directions, plural, and we have to move forward.
Let me just be clear on that point. The counteroffensive that we're witnessing in Kherson right now is not the only counteroffensive underway in this country.
I can't discuss details of any military actions. I think that information silence is important. So I want that the enemy gets some surprises from us.
After the break, Zelensky's surprise.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
To fend off the planned Ukrainian attack in the south, Russia had to prepare, and it decided to relocate troops from other parts of the country, namely the Kharkiv region in the northeast. And in those areas in the northeast, the Russian troops left behind weren't very prepared.
In many ways, these are untrained Russian soldiers. We've heard many reports that the large part of the garrison that has been defending this region in the northeast of the country are not units of the Russian armed forces, but units of the Russian National Guard, which is usually sent into occupied parts of Ukraine to clamp down on protests or to patrol and maintain security around key infrastructure and military objects.
With the Russian forces in the northeast depleted, Zelensky had an opportunity and was able to set the stage for a big surprise.
Ukrainian forces in the northeast of the country launched a major counteroffensive against Russian troops occupying a large part of the country, pushing Russian forces entirely or almost entirely out of the Kharkiv region, leaving only a sliver of land in the easternmost part of Kharkiv region and retaking some towns and villages as part of this broader push to get Russia out of these regions.
What did the Ukrainian soldiers encounter as they made their advance? Were the Russians in the north ready for them?
Most of the reports that we've heard have been from locals saying that the Russian soldiers who had been occupying, patrolling these cities for many, many months suddenly dropped their weapons and started leaving. And I'm sure that's not the case in every single town and village that Ukraine liberated. But we have many, many reports of this happening. And a lot of people are saying that the Ukrainian announcement of a counteroffensive in the south was a kind of feint, a bluff to make Russia move its forces.
They duped them.
Exactly. This is the claim that many people are making. And in fact, one senior Ukrainian official just in the last few days has suggested the same. I think he called it something like a perfect disinfo operation.
How much land have Ukrainian forces taken back from Russian control?
So Ukraine claims that it's recaptured 3,500 square miles of territory, which is obviously a very, very sizable amount of land. This is almost entirely the Kharkiv region in the northeast of the country, but also small parts of the southern Kherson region, where it's also been pushing, and I think where the Ukrainian advance will be focused at the moment. But it's a very, very large swathe of land. It's hard to verify these claims, although on the other hand, I mean, we have maps showing the huge scale of the Ukrainian advance in recent weeks.
On Wednesday, Zelensky went to a city in the northeast. He congratulated his troops, and he had a warning for Russia.
So it means that we will come. I don't know when, and nobody knows when. But we have plans. So we'll come, because it's our land, and it's our people. That's why we'll come.
So what were the ingredients to the Ukrainian success here?
I think things really, really shifted in Ukraine in terms of Ukraine's capacity to fight this war against a vastly superior army. Several months ago, the U.S. started providing very powerful weaponry, including the HIMARS multiple launch rocket systems and some very powerful artillery shells, which can travel quite a distance and have very, very high levels of precision. But I think the biggest blow to Russia was just the decision of its troops to leave those areas. Perhaps if they had remained, they could have all been wiped out by Ukrainian forces moving forward.
What has Russia said about the Ukrainian advance and its own retreat?
This is very interesting, actually. Russia, as has been the case throughout the war, has very actively and forcibly played down any reports of Ukrainian military successes. It has said most recently, because it has been essentially forced now to admit that it has lost territory, because it's clear for everyone to see. But just in the last few days, we've really seen a quite palpable shift in the narrative in Russia. And in Russia, one barometer of the Kremlin's narrative on things, or the Kremlin's take on things, is Russian state TV. We've heard these pundits really question the war for the first time in many, many months. They're asking questions about why things are not going well and suggesting that there has to be some kind of reassessment.
What about on the ground in Ukraine? How are Russian troops feeling?
There have been reports in recent days that Russian troops en masse are refusing to go to the front line. They do not want to fight this war. And they're now realizing that, as opposed to the beginning of the war, where perhaps they had the impression that Ukraine would give up immediately and Ukrainians would come onto the streets with flowers, offering them to Russian soldiers, there's a very, very high probability today that a Russian soldier who goes into Ukraine will be severely wounded or killed.
In recent days, Russia has shown it's not going to give up easily. It bombed a power plant in the northeast, and it launched a missile strike in central Ukraine, hitting a dam in Zelensky's hometown.
What does this say to you about the current state of the war?
It's really a big turning point in the war. Ukraine has been on the back foot for many, many months, ever since Putin launched his invasion of Ukraine in February. Russia is now rather on the back foot, and Ukraine is buoyed by its recent successes. Ukrainian soldiers that we've spoken to in the last few days say, we want to use our momentum, we want to keep pushing. And Russia is now definitely in a position where it can no longer think about pushing forward. It needs to defend its territory, which it's quite obviously proved in the last few days it finds very difficult to do.
Would you say this means we're closer to an end?
I wouldn't say that this is quite the beginning of the end of the war. I do think it has really shifted the balance. The big question will be, of course, can Ukraine keep it up?
That's all for today, Thursday, September 15th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Thomas Grove. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.